This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, this is Igoro, host of the Igoro Show, and you are listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. So keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Hey, welcome to the Steve and Crypto Show, presented by thestevestrout.com. I'm Steve.
I'm Crypto Zoo. Welcome to episode 136.
136. That's crazy. We've been doing this for a long time. And
yeah, we have. And not to say that the other episodes haven't been good, but we got a real good one this time.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. This is one that I've been working on again. All of them are. Fucking, I say it every time. I've been working on this one for a long time. But this one we actually had scheduled a while back. And
yeah,
something went down. I don't remember what it was, but we had to postpone. And it's all right. It worked out pretty well. We had a good conversation. Before we get into that, I need to thank you guys for hanging with us every week. And every other week or whenever you fucking hang with us, we appreciate it. It means a lot to us. Your support and everything, it goes a long way, and all the ways you've been supporting. And if you don't know, if you haven't been yet and you want to, there's multiple ways to do it. You could buy our merch. We have our merch page on Etsy. Just search Steve and Crypto Show and our merch page will pop up, and there's t-shirts and magnets and coffee mugs and all that stuff. The coffee mug's great. It makes your coffee taste better, especially if you drink Expedition Roasters coffee.
That's right.
Which we're going to start talking about them very soon. They sent us a whole other batch of coffee, which I think we might have mentioned last episode.
I just finished off the bag of the Mummy's Blueberry Cobbler, and it was so good.
That was good. But expeditionroasters.com. Go there, check out some of their flavors and stuff. Buy some. Use the code SteveCrypto at checkout and get you a nice discount. But and then the coming episodes, we're going to be talking about and taste testing some of these new blends they sent us. We also a shitload of freeze-dried candy from
Galactic Druid Treats. Go check them out, galacticdruidtreats.com. And you can see everything that they have to offer there.
And we're going to eat some of that stuff and make you listen to us fucking chomp on it too again. Maybe we'll get James to join us again. He's always a funny guy. So there's that merch. Go to Patreon, jump on Patreon, pledge a little as $1 a month to get access to all the content we post over there.
Yep, post variety of things. Stuff.
We'll post fucking movie spoilers. What did we post last?
We have what did we talk about last on there? We were just kind of bullshitting.
We just have so much amazing content over there that we don't even remember what it all is. That's why you should go there.
We were just kind of shooting the shit. And if you want to know what kind of shit we were shooting, you just go check it out at patreon.com/SteveCrypto.
Go enjoy our shit. Then there's Buy Me a Coffee, where you can leave us a tip. buymeacoffee.com/SteveCrypto. We are all over social media. He's CryptoZoo88. I'm TheSteveStrout. That's on Instagram and X, and also the Steve Strout is on TikTok. I just use that. Like, I don't know. I don't do fucking funny dances and songs and stuff. I just post stuff about the show and like crap I collect and cool things like that. It's really not that fancy. I don't have like big boobies or nothing to shake at you or nothing. So if I do, they're bigger than they should be, but. That's why we're audio show and not video. But anyways, social media. We have the Facebook group. Go join that. Post something in there.
See what you guys are working on.
Post it in there. We got a lot of filmmakers and stuff posting in there. Project that we're involved in, a couple movies and stuff. SRS Cinema, find them. They have a movie called Teddy Scare that's just releasing. we're in that movie.
Playing a couple of podcasters.
Playing some podcasters. That's all the ways you can support us. You can leave reviews too. I should have mentioned that. Leave ratings and reviews wherever you listen to the Stephen Crypto Show. That's probably the most helpful way to support us.
Yeah, most streaming apps will allow you to do that. So just go in there and leave a preferred 5-star rating, and we would thank you. We thank you in advance.
5-star, there you go. you heard at the top of the show that we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network, which CryptoZoo is about to tell you a little something about.
That's right. So it is a network that consists of like probably around 25 different shows. And I mean, they have something for everybody there. So if you're a sports nut, they have a show for you. If you're into like movie talk, if you're into music, horror, all kinds of things, there's something there for you. So go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. You can see a list of all the shows, including the Stephen Crypto Show, and check them out.
All right. With all that out of the way, got to remind you guys, last month we talked to Ansel Farage about his film that's coming out, Great Nick D. And that's coming later this year. Go back, listen to that episode. It was a good one. He was a cool dude to chat with. I really enjoyed chatting with that guy. But I want to get to this episode, to this interview, this guest.
What's happening now?
We had a blast. If you listen to us, you know, particularly me, I love horror hosts, love the Svengoolie show. I know I get Crypto to watch it every once in a while. But we had Svengoolie on the show, which was probably one of my crowning achievements, is scoring that guy as a guest.
But we had to refrain from cussing.
yeah, we didn't this time.
No.
The Svengoolie show did a recent worldwide search for Spawn of Svengoolie, where they brought in a few new characters. And one of the people who auditioned was a YouTuber named Pinup Palmer, who had pretty good following. She does a lot of cool stuff. Like I consider her channel like a variety show, because there's a little bit of everything. There's like hair and makeup tutorials, and you know, like comedy bits. There's just all kinds of stuff. There's, you mentioned the Pee Wee's Playhouse filming location tour. Like, she does stuff like that. A lot of cool stuff. So her name is Sarah Palmer. She is a performer. She does the Pinup Palmer YouTube channel. And now she is Svengoolie on the Svengoolie show, which is huge, you know, because she's been a lifelong horror and horror host fan. So this is like a dream come true for her. So we had her on to tell us about that and a little about her influences and background. And I got to say, she is a really funny person. She's hilarious. Yeah. And we had a good time, and it's cool for Svengoolie fans that might not know much about her to kind of get a feel for who she is. I think we do that pretty well in this conversation.
Yeah, it was a great conversation and a real like deep dive into like, you know, what she's into and what makes her character, just what, you know, makes her Svengoolie and the character that her followers love.
How much of that character is her? Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just stop rambling about it and let's just get right to this conversation.
Well, hit pause and then put your gloves on and then enjoy the show.
All right, guys, meet Svengoolie herself, Sarah Palmer.
Hey, everybody, this is Danny Roebuck. Come on, you know my face is familiar. I'm sure my voice is familiar, too. You are listening to the Stephen Crypto Show, and that means that you have good taste, almost as good a taste as I have.
Hey, everybody. We are on the Stephen Crypto Show with a very, very special guest. We have a performer. She's a artist. She sings. She does all kinds of funny stuff on her YouTube channel. But recently, she became one of these Spawns of Svengoolie. So you know her as Gwen Gooley on the Svengoolie show every Saturday on MeTV. But a lot of the Svengoolie fans did not know that she kind of had a little bit of a following already with her internet personality as Pinup Palmer. So we have the performer, Sarah Palmer, who plays all these amazing roles. She's super talented. She's freaking hilarious. And I think you guys are going to like her. So let's meet Sarah and let's hang out for a few minutes and shoot the breeze here. So how are you this evening?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I just got back from Chicago, so I'm a bit tired and jet lagged. So I apologize if I'm not so upbeat right now.
It is all good. At least you got plenty of flowers going on that people can't see.
All the listeners
can't see. If they're quiet enough, they might hear them, but probably not.
There is a lot of flowers. I don't know why right now.
I was like, wow, is she like in a hospital room or like, are you sick?
Is somebody going to bring you another bouquet like while we're recording this?
Yeah. I just have so many admirers, you know.
That's what it is.
So no, they're all fake.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to say anything, but I could kind of tell. Like the ones towards the front here, they looked a little fake.
I don't like going outside very much, so the windows are always closed. So there is no sun that gets in my house, so the flowers die immediately. So fake ones it is. Just collecting dust. Nothing new.
You know what's funny is both my mother and my wife can't keep plants alive.
No. Plant killers.
Yeah. So we have fake plants in our house as well.
Yeah, a green thumb was never given to me, you know.
My last plant just died actually recently.
I apologize. My condolences. Plants.
We did good with plants, and then we had our much publicized breakup, and then she took all the plants and left me with one, and that son of a bitch just died like in the last week.
I'm sorry.
But like, you know,
double whammy. Like,
it figures. It. I guess it was meant to die, but sadly. Anyways, let's talk about the pre-Gwen Gooley stuff.
Pinup
Palmer channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Quite a good following on there.
Thank you.
How did you get this whole situation started?
I knew, as weird as it is, I always wanted to be a horror host. That's very strange. I live in LA, as we know.
It's awesome,
and
personally.
Well, thank you. And everybody out here is like actors and stuff, and they do the acting grind, which means you get headshots, you go to auditions, and you basically audition for roles that are like bit parts, the secretary, the whatever, and you have to look a certain way of whatever your agency wants you to look. And I wanted nothing to do with it, but I wanted to still be in the entertainment business. And I always had a fascination with comedy horror movies specifically, not just horror movies, but comedy ones. And growing up, I used to watch one that was called Mad Monster Party. It was made in like 1960s. It was a stop clay animation. The same guys who did like Rudolph and stuff like
love
that.
It.
Yeah,
I was obsessed. Yeah. Yes, Rankin Bass. Obsessed with it. Not a lot of people know it, but there's a character in there called Francesca. And as soon as I saw her as a kid, it just something clicked in my brain. I was like, there's something spooky, feminine, but still like a ball buster about her. And I knew that's what I kind of wanted to be. So that movie kind of influenced my life a little bit. So I have a little bit of vintage, a little bit of horror, and a little bit of comedy. And there are musical moments in it. So it kind of, if you really look at my life and my YouTube channel and everything, it is that, it is Mad Monster Party. It all kind of adds up to it. But to be a horror host in this day and age doesn't really exist, you know, because they kind of died out in, I would say, the late 90s. I think Elvira stopped in 91 when I was born, and she started in 1981. So I would say, like, the only remaining horror hosts that we really have are Svengoolie. Joe Bob Briggs, I would say, is still on the channel on Shudder. And then if you're into drag queens, I would say the Boulay Brothers is kind of carrying that throne right now. So there really wasn't a platform or a place to audition for something like this. So I was like, YouTube might be the thing. Just kind of start that, because I didn't see anybody really doing that on YouTube other than Dead Mean James, who goes through like horror movie and he does like kill counts. And that's what he was known for. And he's very popular and it worked very well for him. But I knew I didn't want to do that. But I had a following with Pinup. That's where my following was. So I was like, well, if I start off with something like horror related, not a lot of people are going to really grasp onto that. So I had to kind of play the game a little bit. So I was like, I know I need to do hair. That's why a lot of people follow me, is my vintage hair. So I'll start off with a vintage hair tutorial and I'll see what people follow it. And now I hit 1 million views on it. And they did. And they took to my vintage hair tutorials. So then I started slowly changing. Like I started doing like a Halloween movie locations and stuff like that on them, just to kind of test the waters. And I would see a definite drop, because that's not why people are there for. Anytime you change your material, people tend to, you know, leave or not watch it, because that's not why they came to you in the first place. But some people stay because they just like you as a personality and just want to see what you do. But I've been kind of playing that line of, I call it pink and spooky on my YouTube channel, where it's like the pink side is everything vintage and hair, and then the spooky side is horror movie locations, maybe horror movie makeup, history, whatever you call it, conventions. Yeah, so I kind of, that's what I started doing, and I think it's worked out for me. But I am terrible at posting and I'm very inconsistent. I think I only have like 15 videos on there like as a total, so terrible at it. But I plan to get more back in it. It's hard to balance that with work because it isn't my full-time job.
Well, the stuff you got on there is good. A few recent things I checked out, like, you know, the Gula Day special was a whole production. Oh. It was good. It was good stuff.
Oh, you had a good
cast. And how much of that did you write yourself, or did you have a team chip in on that?
That's just me. I have a friend named Ducci, or Justin Ducci, that is always kind of at my house, and we kind of bank off of ideas. But most of the time it's my ideas and I just bore everybody with them. And my friends just kind of go along with it because they know every time I call them, I go, hey, they're like, what color green are you painting me today? Because I always have them in like a Tim Burton coloring. You know, I like seeing like dead people blue or purple or whatever, which once again, Rankin Bass, same thing. Yep. It's like a Mad Monster Party. They're all the same thing. So most of the time it's my idea, but it's like another form of me trying to kind of get people into that horror hosting kind of familiarity. A lot of people don't know about horror hosts today, like at all, or even like Mystery Science Theater is a form of horror hosting. It stems from that when the horror hosts used to do it live. So
absolutely.
It's just trying to bring it out to a different or maybe newer, younger audience, but still have aesthetics that people like. So pinup and pink and vintage.
Yeah, it kind of crosses it over. People see that into the pink stuff, and then you kind of throw something a little spooky, but it's still like, that's still kind of cute. So I'm going to look a little more into that and dive into it and inspire.
Because a lot of people do hair tutorials online. But if you actually watch mine, they're always having cutaways, and or it's like a monster in my hand handing me a drink, or a fake bat coming in. So I add these like B film kind of elements to my stuff that kind of shock people. And they're like, what the hell is that? I'm like, I don't know. But nobody else, I don't think, is doing that on their standard channels. So I wanted to try something different that made me happy, because it's what I liked as a kid.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. That's what sets you apart. Aspects is the humor. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to hope so.
You mentioned conventions, so I'm curious. What kind of feedback do you get from people that stop by to say hi to you?
I've never had a booth at a convention. Always showed up as like a guest. But I've documented conventions like Midsummer Scream or Scare LA. I've modeled for a couple conventions for like, you know, Monsterpalooza or IMATS as like creature work and stuff. I have a lot of friends who are on Face Off and work on horror films.
Cool.
But I do get stopped from time to time, at conventions. And it's kind of neat to see people come up like, you actually care about you. Yeah. You're like, I appreciate it. You know, And I really do. I like it. But I'm also there as a fan trying to see my people that I really like, you know, like Christine McConnell was there 1 year. So I had to go and check that and spy on her in the corner because I'm too scared to actually go up to people, but I'm always like lurking.
Did any of those nerves hit when you first were on the Svengoolie set?
Oh my God.
That must have been intense.
I don't even know how to describe it because, you know, I didn't grow up with Svengoolie because most of the time he was on the East Coast. We didn't see him. And I'm a 91 baby and Elvira was already off the air. So all you could do is see little bits and pieces of things or maybe just see their face and not really know where they're from. So Svengoolie came much later in my life, but seeing the dungeon in person was a very surreal moment when you walk on that set with the cameras and it kind of takes a minute and they wasted no time too. Like when you were on set, when we were auditioning, which means they had to fly me over there. So not only that, I hate flying. I absolutely hate it. So flying alone, then going to a city you've never been to, and then immediately walking on set and there's Sven. And not only that, but you just wrote dialogue for him. And you're about to do a song together. You haven't rehearsed it. He doesn't know it. And they give you like a couple seconds. You're already there. They mic you up and you go. There is no rehearsal. There is no anything. And the first time I ever aired on the actual show was me talking in front of the coffin. And that was actually my audition. And then the song I did with Svengoolie was also my audition. They didn't tell us that they were going to air it or like, hey, these are the pieces. That was just our last audition to maybe get the role. So that's kind of a fun fact. So I didn't even know what it looked like until it happened. And they really just put me on screen and said nothing and then ended it with nothing. And I was like, oh my God, people are going to get pissed.
Well, it worked out for you. So you must have done a good job.
That's
a hell of a test.
Yeah. It was like six audition rounds after the initial video, which a lot of people seem to think I didn't submit a video like everybody else did. They thought I was like brought in like Imp and I, which is the biggest misconception.
Yeah, but, I'm pretty sure I remember them airing your video.
Yeah, I look like more myself, my redhead self in my pink closet. Yeah. And I said I was just Pina Palmer at that time because I didn't have a character name yet. Because I was like, maybe they want to come up with it, which they did. And it did air. But I just don't look like Svengoolie. I wasn't Svengoolie at that time.
So speaking of that, and not necessarily looking like Svengoolie, mm-hmm. Do you ever get spotted when you're, say, just going to grab some eggs at the grocery store or whatever? Have you ever had anybody kind of spot you when you're out of your character?
Not really, but I think I have some. It's happened at my work, so Universal, where I work. I was playing Bride of Frankenstein. It's happened to me twice now. Where people will come up, they'll take a picture. So I'm thinking they're normal guests. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Bride doesn't talk. So I'm just kind of like a mute out there, you know, hissing at people. And after they take a photo with me, then they kind of like lean in really close. And they're like, by the way, we like you on the show. And then they just leave.
Aww.
And so they kind of leave me. But it's not like I can respond or anything. But that means to me that they not only watch me on the show, but they follow me online to know that that's me as Bride. Because there's no way to connect it. But out here in the West Coast, I must say, not a lot of people know about Svengoolie at all. It is definitely like mainly Midwest to East Coast people. I think you would get more recognized. But out here, I tell all my friends about it and they're like, who? And I'm like, Svengoolie? Even horror fans are kind of like they may recognize him, but may not know what he does or even what channel he's on.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of the horror fans, like you said, don't know about horror hosts and that whole thing. Like I've mentioned it a ton of times on here that I didn't grow up with a horror host. I was born 79. You know, the whole thing was dying off by like the mid 80s.
Yeah.
There was a few people still kind of doing it, but it wasn't really a thing anymore. And so I had known of Elvira through like MTV and like,
sure,
you'd see her, and you know, for a young boy, there was something appealing about her.
Of course.
But then it was interesting. I would say two things I remember,
very appealing.
And then you'd see like images of like Vampire and stuff. And like, who's this spooky, awesome, vampy lady?
Right.
And then you find out who she is. And that kind of led me down the path of learning and educating myself about horror.
Research.
Part of the obsession. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was born in 88. And really, the only horror host I really had, the closest thing, was the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, yeah. So, the Crypt Keeper. Yeah. Yes. Tales of the Crypt. Danny Elfman made the music for that one, too, which is just another wonderful thing. The weird thing, though, is I've been working at Universal, right? So I mean, I've been there for like 14 years. And I've worked with this one woman named Diane Vincent. And she plays I Love Lucy, like Lucille Ball. And she's been there for years. She's one of the best Lucy impersonators out there. She goes to Jamestown. She's represented by the family. She's amazing. When I got Gwen Gooley, she turned around and she goes, "That's so amazing that you're doing horror hosting type stuff. I didn't know you were into that." She goes, "Do you know who my father is?" And I go, "No." She's like, "My dad is Larry Vincent." And I still kind of like looked at her funny, and she goes, "He was a horror host back in the 1970s, and he was Sinister Seymour in California.
LA, yep.
That's cool.
And it like clicked in my head. I was like, I feel like I know who you're talking about, but it's hard to find footage of him. So she brought in a book one day of all his stuff. And if it wasn't for Seymour, like Seymour began Not Scary Farm out here in California. So he was on the air. And at that time, horror hosts were very local. So you only could see Seymour if you lived in California, LA at that time. And he was on the air for years for Fright Night and Monster Rally. And this damn woman has been keeping this secret from me the entire time. And it wasn't for him. He started Not Scary Farm. He started hosting the Not Scary Farm shows. And then he got really sick and he got cancer. And he was going from the hospital back to the show, then after the show to the hospital, and then he died.
Oh.
If it wasn't for his death, though, we would have never had Elvira, because it opened up the spot at the TV station for a new horror host. And that's when they did a nationwide search, and they wanted, but it was supposed to be daughter of Vampira. So they brought can't even think of her name, Mila Nurmi right now, Vampira. She was older, and they brought her in, and they were just looking for a new female now horror host, and she was supposed to be Vampira too, kind of like Son of Svengoolie, but the daughter of Vampira. And that's when we got Elvira. And but then like something happened where Amelia went crazy and she wouldn't let her use the name Vampira on the day of set, and so they had to pull like the name out of a hat, and that's when they came up with Elvira. But yeah, so we would have never had that if it wasn't for Seymour. And you could see Seymour in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie. They're watching like a horror film at night, and Quentin got footage from Diane, because there's no footage of him anymore because the studio taped over all his tapes. So you can't find anything, so it's kind of
the only footage you can find of any of the horror hosts are the ones that took it upon themselves to buy their tapes and hold them, you know, people like Bob Wilkins in San Francisco and stuff. Like, he kept footage, him and John Stanley, who followed him, they kept the footage so they can look back on it. But I wish more would have been able to do that, but to them it was just a gig. Like, most of them were just like, whatever, this is my gig, I'm gonna go back and do the weather tomorrow.
You could see some still too, like, and that's why though I think Elvira is just so big, because she just hit it at the right time and had the right thing and then capitalized on it. She knew what she was worth, and I don't think horror hosts really, I don't know if they knew how important they were for American culture at that time. I don't know, maybe they're, because there were so many of them, everybody thought it was just like something you did. I'm not sure.
It's a lost art form. John Stanley. I was interviewing him. I remember if it was directly from him or Lord Bloodraw told me. He's another California-based guy. Mm-hmm. He was telling me about having a conversation. It was him. He was telling me about having a conversation with John, and John called horror hosting a great American folk art.
Oh, totally. Because it doesn't exist.
The best.
It doesn't. Yeah. And it's such a tradition that I always knew I wanted. I was like, it's so unique and so different. And everybody had their own kind of different styles. They kind of took some things from some other people, but everybody had their own flow or rhythm, like Zachary Lee with his songs, Stella from Saturday Night Dead. She looked like an old saloon girl with a big feather bow and big hair. And there was a lot of them that people just don't know. And I wish they would look into, because a lot of the things we watch today are based off of that art form that happened.
Like you mentioned, Mystery Science Theater. That's without horror hosts, we might not have stuff like that.
I don't think so. Right. That heckling, if it wasn't for the terrible B films and the horror hosts to be there with mics and just roasting these films, you know, I don't think we would have ever gotten Mystery Science Theater. Or what's the other one that's the more modern one today? Like Mystery? It's
I know there's like Riff Tracks.
Riff Tracks. Like there we go. Tracks, yeah. Riff Tracks. Yeah, they're
those
great
guys
too.
Are pretty funny. They're funny.
They're funny. But I favor puppets. So anything with puppets or like Henson puppets, I will naturally gravitate towards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Puppets and horror go hand in hand.
Big Muppet fan as well.
Yeah.
Have you attended a Mystery Science live show?
No, but this year I want to go to Blobfest out in Pennsylvania.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And they're at the Colonial Theater. I don't know if you guys know about this, but it's like a 3-day weekend fest at the original Colonial Theater, where, you know, the famous scene where you see everybody running out of the theater. And they have like markets and bands and competitions. And then they play the movie in the theater that you're watching, which is cool. Then they have like a 3-mile race or something where they start in the theater and then they all run out.
Oh, that's cool.
But the last day, Mystery Science Theater is there, and they roast like horror movies. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
That's,
so I'm
that's cool. I definitely that's one of those things. That's on my list of things to do at some point. Hit Blobfest.
Blobfest.
And get down to some of the horror conventions in LA. I've never been down to LA, so I need to get down there. If I were to do that, what would you recommend the first
Midsummer Scream
horror convention to be worth the trip?
Midsummer.
Midsummer, yeah.
Midsummer Scream and Monster Palooza are the two I think that are well worth going to, and you'll see everybody. Everybody's here. We haven't seen Elvira here though in a very long time. I see she's doing circuits around, but not at California for some reason. I'm not sure
she
why.
Was, she was moved, up here for.
She moved away from California. She's living up near Portland now.
Oh, she's in Oregon.
So she's probably avoiding
everybody.
The big city. Everybody, there you go.
Yeah.
So we have Crypticon up here every May in Seattle, and she was like the main guest of honor, I want to say 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely had the longest line in the building all day.
Oh, I'm sure. Our last Monster Palooza, we had like the entire Scream cast. Except when Drew Barrymore. But they were all here, and you could take photos with fucking all of them.
Oh, it's one of my top franchises.
Yeah. And Tim Curry. Tim Curry was here, too.
Nice.
Yeah, for Monster. Pretty cool.
That's cool.
I think that's the one I was seeing somebody post online about, like, the Screamcast was, like, the convention ended at, like, 6, but they were still there at, like, 11 o'clock at night signing and photoing.
Oh, wow.
That's very kind of them, yeah.
So, on the Svengoolie show, you mentioned they came up with the name, but how much input did you have in developing the character and the look?
They really let us take the reins on that. I came in kind of looking more like myself, just kind of dead. And then I was like, I am not going to have somebody to always style my hair, so I got to get a wig. And I wanted a wig that looked like those old Hammer films of like the 1950s and 60s and something that, but I also wanted to change my wig out. So this is the thing I've been talking with them about. Like, I don't want just one hairstyle. I want the same color, but just change up the style every now and then. Cause I feel like that's what my character would kind of be like. So I got a wig, and my wig maker is the same woman who does Dolly Parton's wigs. Oh, wow. She lives cool. in England.
Nice.
So big hair, I guess, is her thing. And I wanted a green strip in it or something green because I wanted it to pay homage to the original Svengoolie. So Jerry G. Bishop's Svengoolie. And if you guys don't remember, he'd look like a 60s hippie with long, vibrant green hair. And I was like, I want to pay kind of a little like nod to that. So I put that same color hair a little bit in a streak in my hair in the front. So that's why I have those gnarly color gloves, which everybody hates. And the costume is just something I had that I showed up with on the last day once I got the wig. You know, and when you show up to your audition, you're not thinking you're going to wear this costume again. You're thinking they're going to go through a whole process and maybe develop the character. Nope. I'm now stuck in that costume. And those gloves that I bought off of Amazon are just stretching and stretching and getting bigger. And the more and more they stretch, the more and more people hate me on Facebook for my gloves. And they love to tell me all the time. There was one comment that Rich Svengoolie loved to tell me when I saw him. He was like, did you see that one comment where that person said, Gwen Gooley's gloves look like the kind of gloves you would shove up a cow's ass? And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying he's rude.
And of course, he got a kick out of that one. Yeah,
I'm sure he did. If you've ever seen Rich in the comments, he goes in on people, and it is the funniest thing to watch him argue. He lets
people know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't pull no punches, which is awesome.
He's so funny. And yeah, so I came up with this costume, but not really knowing like how functional it really is. I just wore it to the audition. You know, you're not really thinking I'm going to be stuck in this for a while. And, we will be making like alterations and stuff pretty soon. So you'll start to see Gwen's look kind of slowly change, but similar gradually.
So you went in hoping to get a new outfit and nope.
at least a table talk or something going, is this what we want? Is this the kind of look you want? You know, because I don't, you know, there's a thing with that show. It is a family show. So we can't show too much cleavage. We can't show, you know, we can't say certain words. Like I said, clearly we can't cuss, but did you guys know we can't say the word fart?
What?
Wow.
That's the F word we need to stay away from. Oh. And we found that out the hard way. Yeah, Imp Scott, my buddy who plays Imp on the show, he got hired with me and he wrote a script and he even used the word brain fart. And I remember Jim Roach coming in, who's the producer and writer. Jim's great. And he goes, yeah, we need to change that. We can't say that. And Imp just was like short circuiting. And he's like, what? What do you mean I can't say brain fart? So he had to use like a gas bubble or something like that. It was such a shock. Like my mouth was agape. I couldn't believe it.
I wonder why that's such a tough term. Is it just 'cause it's like a bodily function? Is that like a weird thing or?
I don't, maybe Rich is just offended by the word. I don't know. There could be multiple reasons why. But other than that, they came up with my name. I didn't pick my name. I had a couple other names that we tried. I think I came in with Scara. So it's like a play on my name, but Scara. And I put the in horror movies or something like that. And they didn't want me to do that because it was too close to Scara Screams from Monster High Dolls, which is Mattel. So they don't want that. Then I wanted something old Hollywood sounding, but a play on a ghoulie term. So I thought of an old Hollywood actress named Tallulah Bankhead. And I knew I wanted to put myself in like the 40s, 50s range. So I was like, what about Tagula? And I was like, Tagula sounds cool. And they dug Tagula for like a second. And then some big producer was like, Gwen Ghoulie. And that's just where it stuck. I think even Gwen Gula or Svengoola was another alternate name that they were thinking about because people on Reddit love to go crazy and they were looking up copyrights already for like who maybe the spawns are. And I saw these guys and they were like, there are three names for the spawn of Svengoolies and one is Imp and the other one is Gwen Ghoulie and the other one is, you know, Svengoola. So that means there are three Spawns. And I went wrong. There's just two names they haven't decided on. But yeah, people go, they go into detail, even for this type of show, you know, but it is a cult following. This is what we get.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet gets wild, to say the least. Sometimes.
Boy, do they. Unhinged.
Yeah.
So what about the bits and stuff you do on the show? Do you get to collaborate much on the writing and everything?
Yes. We all write our own material majority of the time. However, they go in and edit it, or they write stuff for us. Sometimes I write for Sven and I, sometimes I write for Imp and I. Whenever there's a song, it's mostly me. But it's kind of everybody does everybody's. It just depends on the time frame of how much time. So if we don't have much time, they're probably writing some kind of scripts for us. And we won't know what that script is sometimes until we are in the studio and we're reading it off the teleprompter. So if you're wondering why we're not looking away from the screen, it's because we don't know our lines. We don't know what's coming up. You know, and it's kind of like a Ron Burgundy moment where you're reading direction or like a question mark. I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah. And yeah, so it's hard to do group scenes, especially when you're supposed to be looking at another person, but you don't know what the dialogue is. So you have to kind of keep it here. So it makes things look a little bit statue or static. I don't know.
So to avoid getting out of that and being a statue, do they allow you guys to kind of be a little flexible and like throw in your own dialogue if you think,
sometimes
if you guys can handle it.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, we do improv type stuff, but if we're doing promos, it has to be exactly the right word. Like I can't say a instead of is, you know, or like it has to be exactly the same way. But when it comes to the scripts, as long as you don't screw up the other person and go completely off script, sometimes Bill, who plays Nostalgia, he tends to do a lot of off the cuff stuff. So that's why I think him and Sven seem so natural when they're talking to each other, because Bill just kind of goes off on a tangent and he starts, and with that inflection that he has as this character, Nostalgia Ferratu, it's just immediately funny with his goofy face, and he cracks Sven up the entire time. But he's a little bit more off the cuff, but Imp and I are more scripted the entire time. So it's a lot. We're doing like three different things in one day, but we're there for like 2 days of shooting. Yeah, it's been a lot. It's a lot.
So in the 2 days of shooting, do you get more than one episode film?
Sometimes. Yeah, we're doing like maybe three different episodes. I mean, this last one we did three different movies, little segments for each of us. And then we did commercials, promos, social media, sound bits, and then a full movie we did ourselves. So it's a lot. And sometimes you have like random things thrown in, and social media seems to, I am not good with the social media girls when they come in, because they just come in, they go, okay, here's a rubber chicken and do something with it. And it's like 7 a.m. and your brain's just fried and you're like, I don't know. And they're just like happily looking at you because they're all young and teenagery. So I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So what's probably been one of your favorite bits you've done so far? I mean, they're all great, but
I mean, they're okay. I cringe at my own self, just letting you know.
Everybody does, though.
I haven't found exactly my rhythm yet, so it's hard to kind of say. There's ways that I want to convey my character, but I can't. And I'm given certain times to write certain things. But I think the last skit I did with the glove off and the glowing finger, that skit I wrote for the Facebook fans who kept commenting on my gloves. And so I finally wrote it in, kind of acknowledging that I am aware of how much they hate my gloves. And I want them to know that I know, you know, so I wrote that specifically for them and it aired. And some people got it. Some people just went over their head, but I did appreciate that one. But I like anytime I do songs with Sven, but a lot of the things that we are doing, that we have filmed. And like, I've done three different songs, but you may not see those until much, much later on. And those are the things that I'm most proud of, is when I do the musical bits and we're trying something different, because they're very, the show really hasn't changed in a while. So they like things a certain way. And once you start coming in and you're kind of new and you're like, hey, can we do a different camera angle for this? You should see them kind of short circuit a little bit. And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, and I'll go, it's okay. We'll just cut and we'll go over here and just do this. Like, and Imp and I have been trying to kind of implement a different way of filming slightly with us, because we're moving a lot. Sven likes to, you know, Rich likes to stay in one spot, and that's where he's just kind of comfortable. And it's what he's familiar with. And he doesn't really need to do much because it's cadence, but Imp and I were trying to kind of like prove something of ourselves. But my character isn't really she's a side character, but she isn't, you know, not like Nostalgia Ferocci is a really good sidekick to have, because he's that funny guy, you know, funny. My character is more of the straight man who is all of a sudden now a side character to Sven. So it's kind of like both straight men kind of, who's going to do the joke, you know? So it's kind of hard to figure us out. We're all, the Sven squad is like Three Stooges. I'm Mo. That's clear. I'm Mo.
Right. So do you think this could lead to your own show?
Oh, God. That would kill half of the Sven family, or the Svengoolians, or whatever you call them. I don't think maybe... Here, listen. There are dreams, and then there are practicality. Dreams, sure. I would love that. And I would love to... There have been talks about like a midnight show for me. So something a little bit more raunchier, or a little bit more adult themed.
Risque.
Risque. Yeah. More like in the ranks of Elvira, you know, like she has like a lot of tit jokes and stuff like that, because that was her thing. Not saying that that would be my thing, but, you know, maybe we would say the word fart, you know, just maybe. And there, that has been kind of mentioned, but I don't know if that would be MeTV or a different channel or something like that. But I think we're there for now, at least the Sven squad, is just to kind of help and change things up a bit. And we're there for a safety net for whatever needs to happen. You know, we don't get to do anything yet until Sven or Rich decides what he wants to do. It's his call. It's his show. So we're just there to help. We're just there to add. But we'll see.
Being a horror host fan and having that dream of being a horror host all your life, most of your life, you're off to a pretty damn good start.
I would think like, so.
Yeah.
The biggest horror host going right now. So you're his sidekick.
When this opportunity came up, I didn't freaking believe it. I didn't believe it that this would be even an option. Like, I thought it was just YouTube or bust, you know, do it on YouTube, get big enough on YouTube so that you just do cons, like what most people, YouTubers, do. That's as far as I thought it was going to go. But then when my friend messaged me this audition, you know, those kind of moments where you're like doing something and you read it and your stomach just drops. That's what happened. And it was kind of like a aha moment, or a calling card. Like I felt like this is it. I have to do this and I have to figure it out. And there's a funny story with that, because I was working HHN Halloween Horror Nights here at Universal Studios. I was in charge of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, The Maze. And I was signing in my 6'4" guys, you know, like get in there, get your costumes in. Got the email and was really excited, very distracted all day. But on the email, I couldn't find, and it was already like mid-October, so I didn't know how long this audition was going for. Like, did they close the auditions already? How much time do I have? Because I'm working every night till 4 o'clock in the damn morning. So I don't really have time to get ready or to come up with something. So I was like, oh God, when do they close the auditions? Couldn't find it anywhere. So I emailed everybody in sight, any email that I could find. And I didn't know that I emailed Rich directly, Sven Gulli directly. And And I realized it later. I was like, oh, he's not going to get back to me. And later that night, because you guys are, I think, 3 hours ahead of Californians.
We're in Washington. We're same time zone.
Oh, you're same as us, but in Chicago, that's 3 hours ahead. And I got an email at night, and my email said this to Rich. And it said, "Hi, my name is Sarah Palmer, and I would like to audition for the Spawn of Svengoolie, but I cannot seem to find a deadline anywhere on your page." No pun intended. Deadline. That was the so stupid, which I'm sure they cringed at. And I was like, "If you could let me know when the deadline is, that would be great. Thank you." Rich emailed me back. Shocker. And I went, wow, he actually did. I looked at it and it said, "No idea, period."
Oh.
Big help, Rich. Thank you.
he's very responsive, but he's super brief.
He's so short, no but idea. I screenshotted it and I'm going to save it and put it up on my wall. I haven't got a chance to tell him that I was the annoying girl that asked him. But, you know, good to see you again, Rich. But yeah, no idea. Great help.
So since you became Svengoolie, have you seen a boost in your YouTube page?
YouTube. The only thing I posted on YouTube was the Christmas special, because I actually had time off in Christmas to actually make one. I didn't really, and it's hard when you don't post for a while, you lose your followers. Like, you lose them. You lose your view counts. You have to be pretty consistent. But on Instagram, I've gained a few, and I could tell who the new ones are because they like to comment. They're from a different generation. Let's just say that they're from the boomer generations, and they have a very specific way of like typing or leaving comments. There's a few old people on there now that I normally wouldn't attract, that are leaving just all of my monster pictures. They leave funny comments and really well written out diary entries, it looks like. But I appreciate it. They're very, very sweet. I do, however, have a lot of fan art, which I wasn't expecting so soon. And I actually have two in my house right now hung up. And let's just say some of the fan art is, some of it's really good. And some of it, I appreciate the effort. I really do. And I don't care if it's ugly, bad, I will hang it up in my damn house. I'll hang it up because it took time and effort and they didn't need to do it. Even though I look like Voldemort, I'll still hang it up. I don't care, you know? And I'm screenshotting every single one because I just want like a whole wall of all the good and bad ones just to freak out people. But it makes a great conversation starter when people see how big the bad photo is of me drawn. And they're like, oh, and I go, yeah, you like it? And just see if they're going to lie to me. Just see if they're going to lie straight to my face and going, no, it's, you look great. You look beautiful. Thank you.
I've seen you post. I think you might have posted a couple pretty good pieces of fan art.
Yeah, there's some really talented people.
Now I want to see the bad stuff.
Oh, the bad, I have them all. The bad stuff is the greatest, and you know, but you have to put them all together so people don't know which one goes in which pile. You decide yourself. It's subjective. Art is subjective. There we
That's
go.
That's right. Yep, I am the beholder.
Yeah.
So back to pinup stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What or who were your influences in getting involved in that culture and style?
The vintage culture?
Yeah.
This stems again from Universal. I started working at Universal Studios at 18. I did the first thing of Halloween Horror Nights to Grinchmas. And then I asked them, I was like, what's full time here? And they were like, Marilyn has an audition. So I auditioned for Marilyn Monroe and got it. So I played Marilyn for years there doing the shows. And when you do Marilyn at Universal, you have to go into her history. And I kind of have to like immerse yourself in her world a little bit. And then while I was doing research on Marilyn, I would find other celebrities from that era and really started grasping everybody's looks and makeup and what did they do? Who's this actress in this film? And that's just part of my curiosity. I have to know everybody in the film, when they were born, what other film they were in. That's kind of a thing I do. It's my Rain Man thing. I will like tell you dates on everything. It's my boyfriend makes fun of me on it all the time. So I dove into vintage because of Marilyn. So she was the catalyst, and then I found everybody else. And she's not my favorite blonde, but, you know, I appreciate her for what she did. And working at Universal, it's literally my pink and spooky channel. It's everything vintage over here in the Maryland world. And then where horror was made, where Psycho Bates Motel is, and Frankenstein is staring at me, and I play Bride of Frankenstein. So I literally have pink and spooky constantly in my life of just these two things. And then when Gwen Gulli came, it was just like starting to merge those two together.
Yeah, she's like right in the middle there. Right in the middle of Maryland and the Bride.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, as you mentioned, comedy being one aspect earlier.
Huge.
Your filming location, the Pee Wee's Playhouse. That could go in the comedy folder.
Totally. Totally. I am upset. Paul Rubens is amazing and amazing. I know too much about him, but he used to be best friends with Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, and they started at the Groundlings. And so, like, they go together, and she was in his films, and it's incredible. I love Pee Wee. He goes into vintage because his world is like this 1950s Norman Rockwell kind of vibe, but his TV show had like the 50s vibe, but with like 80s influence.
Yeah.
And so, and I love everything 80s too. So I will get into that, but anything I can kind of grab myself onto into weird comedy, bizarre characters, I will immediately fall in love with. So
yeah, it was cool watching that specific video of yours, and like, thanks to you, I learned a few things about, you know, I mean, obviously I knew Phil Hartman was on the show, but I didn't know like how far back they actually
went.
Were connected. Yeah, yeah, you know, and Pee Wee's Playhouse was a great part of my childhood as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really a fun, entertaining video.
It was bizarre because I filmed it while he died.
Yeah.
So, and that was the weirdest timing of it all. We went to go see the drive-in of Pee-wee's, you know, Big Adventure at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, where Gwen Gulli is buried. That's where she's based in. So, and it was his movie. And I remember, what's her name? Who plays Dottie? She was there. And she's like, usually Paul is here with me, but he couldn't make it tonight. And nobody fucking knew that Paul had cancer. Like, no, nobody in this audience. And we were wondering, because he's usually there at these things, talking about the film, saying like, thanks guys for coming, you know. He wasn't there that night. So that should have been kind of that red flag, or like, uh-oh, something's not right. And then literally I started filming the video that week, and then he fucking died. So that's why I had to go back and record myself at the beginning. And that's why I'm crying, because now it has this film that was supposed to be fun and Pee-wee's Big Adventure and bright and colorful just had this somber tone that we had to address it. You know, I had to. It's just unfortunate. And the timing was way too bizarre for me. So it hit me even harder because I was just so involved in his life in that moment.
Yeah.
Bizarre. At a cemetery of all places is where I saw it. A cemetery.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how impactful he was for so many of us growing up, and that show, you know, just brings back great memories. It's cool to see the people that were connected to it. I mean, I didn't know that Rob Zombie was a production assistant on the show for the longest time. And, you know, and seeing Paul Rubens in that character for my childhood, and then fast forward to watching Cheech and Chong and seeing him under a table with those guys, and was like, oh, what is Pee Wee Herman doing?
It's always weird when you see such an iconic character not play that iconic character. It was like him as the spleen in Mystery Men for me. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's such a jarring moment, but that's how you know how amazing he was.
Oh yeah.
And I now watching Buffy it as movie. An adult, how many adult jokes just go over the head as a kid because you're just so distracted by all the colors and fun. And he made a lot of them, a lot.
Yep.
But he gave Tim Burton his start in his career. If it wasn't for Pee-wee, we would have never had Beetlejuice, anything. So
yeah, he insisted on them bringing Tim Burton in to direct that movie.
Yep.
Completely. For a lower budget. They made sacrifices just so he can do it. Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a little about the vintage culture influences and stuff. And you did kind of touch on Mad Monster Party.
Oh, yeah.
But what were some of your other influences in getting you to love the whole monsters and horror stuff?
Like I said, comedy has a huge part of it. So anytime there is a horror comedy movie, I have probably seen it. And I would say Mel Brooks growing up was a huge catalyst in my life. My parents are huge Mel Brooks fans. I've seen him live to talk about his films like Blazing Saddles, but it was, Young Frankenstein and then Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah, I love that one.
That are pretty big catalysts. And then eventually we go a little bit later and there was a film back in the 1980s called Student Bodies. And it was the first, it was Scary Movie before Scary Movie was a thing. And it came out in 1981. So same year, fucking Elvira arrived. And it was a film that all the horror movies that came out around this time, they just made fun of it. And there's, a killer that kills with, paper clips and pencils. And, it's a stupid 80s hilarious movie. My parents watched it on, one of their first dates, so they told me about it. So I have that poster hanging up in my house. But Attack of, of the Killer Tomatoes and those kind of really weird kind of films, but definitely Student Bodies. And I love Scary Movie. Anything to do with Zucker Brothers from, Airplane, then fast forward to the Wayans Brothers in Scary Movie. And then eventually I think Zucker Brothers took over Scary Movie, if I'm correct, on 3. That's where they started kind of declining, but
yeah, I got a little bit more campy.
But that first one, that was incredible. So it's horror movies with comedy added onto it. And now, because of Mystery Science Theater, I'm a huge Mystery Science Theater fan. I have their silhouettes on the back of my car.
Oh wow!
I want it tattooed on myself, but they got me into just the bad B horror films. And now I can watch bad B horror films and just make fun of it myself with my friends. And we basically do what they do, but yeah, they're a huge influence on me as well. But growing up in the '90s, everything was Halloween. If you really think about it, they pushed Halloween more than ever. The first ever Disney original movie was Under Wraps, which was a mummy movie. It started the whole revolution of Disney. That's when you get Halloween Town, and that's when we had Goosebumps.
Yeah,
and
Goosebumps was so popular.
Real Monsters. Yeah, this is so growing up in the 90s, it was like candy. Halloween's awesome. Do this. They really pushed it, and it was a thing. Yeah. So thanks, 90s.
I definitely bit that piece of Halloween candy and became a horror fan. Thanks to Goosebumps.
Goosebumps and just the commercials. The commercials would change too, just like Christmas commercials. All of a sudden you were seeing Creepy Reese's or the Crypt Keeper doing, Hershey's Kisses or fucking something like that.
Old Creepy Crawlers commercials.
Yeah. Even toys were influenced around it. Totally.
Yep.
And weird mad scientists, what a time. What a time to be alive.
Hey, they knew, hey, you like Ninja Turtles? You like monsters? We're going to put them together. Here's Universal Ninja Turtles.
Totally capitalized on kids at that time to make so much money. McDonald's came out with spooky nuggets, the spooky buckets that everybody was craving over recently, 3 years ago when those came out again.
I have a bunch of them laying around.
So do I. My ass was never been at McDonald's more in my freaking life, for a damn plastic bucket.
Right.
But they got us because they know how to hit nostalgia with us 90s kids because we're the things paying for everything right now. So.
Yeah, nostalgia sells crazy.
It really does because there's not much good that out anymore. That's why. So we're resorting back to our.
That's true. Except the Svengoolie show. And
they're very afraid that we're going to change everything. But little do they know, I think they see my age and freak out. Because I think I'm the youngest on the show. Imp is actually, he's either 39 or 40. He just looks young. He just looks like a kid. You know, I'm 32, which isn't young in like Hollywood terms, but youngest on the show. And they freak out and thinking I'm going to change it into like a TikTok fucking show or something like that, which is not going to happen because I hate TikTok, you know, like I am such an old fashioned person. I refuse to see a lot of modern or new things. I don't listen to new music. I don't listen to I'm very set in my ways of what I like and still discovering even old stuff to this day.
So since you mentioned music, what's some of your favorites in the music world?
Well, everything I like is all connected. So I'm a huge fan of ska. So my favorite band is Oingo Boingo and No Doubt. And I like Styx too. I just kind of grew up on it.
They got some jams.
They got some great stuff. They're kind of like Queen to me, where they're really all over the place with great singers. And I think they're underestimated.
Little operatic with the vocals.
Totally. Total Broadway singing, you know, but with weird synthetic sounds in the background. But I'm obsessed with Oingo Boingo, Danny Elfman, early Danny Elfman. But I also like weird exotica music. So like that 1950s Martin Denny type, like, it's just like background music. Like if you walked into a tiki bar and this is like birds calling like caw, caw, choo-choo. I like it. I don't know. I just like, 80s music to 1950s, you know, pop. That's what I like. I like to stay in that.
Yeah, there you go. So when you're not performing or at Universal or doing Gwenguli or making YouTube videos, do you have any other hobbies or anything you do to kill time? And
sleep. Honestly, these are my hobbies, as weird as it sounds. So it's like a never ending something. There's always some new idea in my head that I know I need to do that. I want to do that. I should do that. But I'm terrible with time management sometimes. And I get a lot of like pinup photo shoots. Tomorrow I'm doing a Lily Munster photo shoot for this makeup brand. It's all the classic horror girls, Vampira, Elvira, Lily, and Morticia are going to be there for, and it's going to be pretty neat. So it keeps me busy. And then I go back to work as Bride. And then I have another shoot after that. And then I already have the next movie coming up for Sven that I already have to write. And who knows? I think I'm going to have to do a commercial this time.
Are there any special little surprises or anything planned that you can mention without spilling all the beans?
They even keep that a secret from us. But I will say this. It is his 45th anniversary year. So do expect something spectacular, maybe to pop out at you. That's a hint. Pop out.
Okay.
At you. There are some really cool things that we know, but they're still keeping it a secret from us. Still, they're not giving us all the details, but it is his 45th anniversary. So that means it's a pretty big year to celebrate, and just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
45 years at the same gig. Imagine it.
I don't know how much material. Well, no wonder why he's replaying his old stuff. I would just replay it too. You know,
still watch it. Yep.
Yeah. It's still funny. And who knows, those people, you know, he's national now. So the only people that saw those old ones, mostly in Chicago. So it's new material to them, you know?
Yeah.
So what about for your personal content? Do you have any interesting ideas that you want to get out there soon?
Well, I want to document Blobfest. That's the one thing that I want to do that I think fits my aesthetic perfectly. It's vintage, it's 50s, it's historic, and it's horror. It's everything I want. So,
I hope you do. I want to see it.
Thank you. I know I'm doing a con for once this year. I just got approached by a Canadian con. in Canada, in Toronto, and I'll be there with a couple of Dragula drag queens from the horror show. So I'll be there. Cool. That's in September, though. But for YouTube, it's just a lot of, I want to do a lot of movie locations. That's where I really want to go towards. But I know everybody online just wants me to do pinup hair. So that's just, you got to give them kind of what they want just so they can watch the shit that they don't want to watch. But at least they like you. So it's, yeah. Balance. You got to balance it. I really want to go up north to like where Scream was filmed. And my horror movie locations, I like to theme it out. So if like, what's the car? Can we rent the type of car? When I did Clueless, I had to drive around in a white Jeep, like, you know, Blair. So
yeah,
I'm very specific in what I do. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've taken quite a bit of your time today. I know it sounds like you have a busy day tomorrow with the photo shoot and everything.
It's not till 6. I just got to paint myself blue.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Instead of painting your friends different colors, you get to get painted this.
Yeah, it's my turn. This is revenge. This is.
I'm sure they're all just loving to hear about it. So how'd you feel with all that shit on you? Yeah.
Always. They get so nervous. They're like, what am I, a zombie? I went, yeah, a zombie.
So do you want to plug the channel and your social medias and stuff for everybody?
Sure, I could do that. If you guys want, you could follow me at Pinup Palmer on YouTube or on Instagram at Pinup Palmer. Really, really simple. And that's Pinup Palmer. It's just one word, no capitalized.
Easy one. I feel like some of our listeners probably already follow you, so that's good.
Oh, good. I hope so.
We save them the trouble, but I'm hoping to get you more followers. That's the plan.
That'd be great.
But, Sarah, we thank you for hanging out. It was fun. It was cool to get to know you. Look forward to seeing where Gwen Gooley takes us, and hopefully you get to do the Scream filming locations at some point.
Oh, that'd be great.
And maybe we'll cross paths at a convention or an event or something somewhere.
That'd be great. Yeah, come down here.
We wish you luck in Canada.
Thank you. Yeah, come down to Hollyweird.
Got a lot more spare time on my hands nowadays, so I've been thinking of doing some traveling, so mm-hmm. That's one of the destinations on the list.
Sure. Well, especially if you go to Midsummer, it's in Long Beach, and you can go right to the Queen Mary too. You could stay at the Queen Mary, the creepy Queen Mary boat. The haunted boat. You could stay there for the weekend and just drive on up or walk to it. It's fun.
I need to go out to LA too. I mean, I've been to the airport, been to LAX to hang out for an hour or two. So I don't know if that counts.
No, that's a nightmare. That place is a damn nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't ever go there again. I'm trying to avoid it. Try to go to Burbank Airport instead or Ontario.
Yeah. Yeah. Flying sucks.
It does.
Let's end on that note. Flying sucks. So
flying sucks.
Anybody wants to hang with any of us, they should come to us.
Yeah. Or train.
Train's fun.
Train's cool.
Train's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done the bus. I've taken freaking Greyhound cross country like 10 times. That's the worst.
A bus?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the worst.
Okay. You have the patience of a saint then. Oh, boy.
That was back in the days when I used to drink. So it made it a little more tolerable.
Well, you weren't driving the bus, right?
No, I was just dozing off and drinking whatever was in that Coke bottle. And
it wasn't Coke. It was not Coke.
There was some Coke in
it. It was Pepsi.
Sure. It was a little bit. It was a little bit.
Changed the Coke into a Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
There you go. Right. Well, everybody watch Sven Gulli every Saturday evening on MeTV and see Gwen and her. Would they be considered your family or just your gang or your friends?
Annoyances, nuisance. Annoyances. What are they? Yeah.
Gwen Gulli and her annoyances.
Bug, Rich.
Gwen Gulli and her annoyances on the Sven Gulli show every week. So thank you for hanging out.
Lackluster gloves.
Hey, this is Dr. Gangrene. You're watching the Steve. No, you're not. You're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show right here on whatever network you're on. I don't know what you're on. Don't ask me. I can't see what you're doing, but keep listening and tune in next week for more cool content on the Steve and Crypto Show.
All right, we are back. Thank you to Sarah for hanging out. It was a blast. I had a really good time chatting with her. She was freaking hilarious. I kind of had to turn away a couple of times to laugh at stuff because I didn't want to do my stupid dingus laugh on the freaking show and draw nobody out. But it was a good time. Check her out. Follow her YouTube channel. Follow her on social media. Tell her you enjoyed the show. Tell her you're glad to meet her on the Steven Crypto Show. If you ever get a chance, like she said, she works at Universal. She is at a lot of conventions and stuff down in LA area. So go say hi to her. Tell her, say, I heard you on the Steven Crypto Show. Or I seen you on Svengoolie. But yeah, thank you to her. It was a great time. I guess before we wrap up this episode and go through the whole spiel and promote all ourselves real quick, promote all of our stuff, promoting ourselves really quick. I'm kind of fumbling my words, but one of those days, man. I want to remind everybody that this is the time to get in your nominations for the Rondo Awards. The Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Awards celebrates the past year's creators and stuff in the genre and, you know, horror and sci-fi and stuff. And the last 2 years, we have been nominated for Best Podcast, and we want to get nominated again this year. So if you like us and you're listening to us and you still love us and we're still your third favorite podcast, email them. The info is all over both of our social media. Email them, tell them you suggest us as Podcast of the Year. And let's get us on the ballot, and then we'll bug you guys again to vote. But for now, let's just get on the ballot. if you go to rondoaward.com, you can see like the past awards and see the categories. Check out some of the categories. And before you send in your nomination for us, look at some of the other categories and see if there's anything else that you enjoyed over the last year to fit in any of those categories and suggest them too. But it's all about promoting creators and writers and artists and filmmakers and just spread the word about cool shit. That's one of the things that I get from the Rondo Awards is looking through, once the ballot is out, finding new content that I didn't know about, or finding a new podcast or a book or something. I found a lot of cool shit that way, comic books, everything. So do that. Let's get back on the ballot because you know you want us to. And let's try to make some noise this year. Let's get some votes in. Let's be like fifth runner up or something.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Fifth runner up.
Yeah. We'll settle for that.
I'll settle for third. Third favorite podcast is third runner up.
That's right.
But with that out of the way, before we wrap, we got to remind you guys. BuyMeACoffee.com/SteveCrypto, Patreon.com/SteveCrypto, the merch page over on Etsy. And if you want to run that off real quick,
Etsy.com/shop/SteveCryptoMerch. And of course, follow us on social media at Crypto88, at the Steve Strout. We also have the Facebook group. Just go look up the Steve Crypto Show. You'll find it. You got a project, throw a piece of it in there. We want to see what you've been doing. Let's see. Also, go to Expedition Roasters and pick up some coffee. Use that code SteveCrypto to get a little discount.
And Deluxe Edition Network. Go there and support some of those podcasts. DeluxeEditionNetwork.com. Go see the list of them shows. I guarantee you'll find something that you like almost as much as us. And listen to it. Support them. Spread the word about that too. And just listening to our show and shows like it, and promoting content creators and filmmakers and writers and authors. Do it, especially indie filmmakers, support them. So that way, and they see that we're sending them support, and then they want to see more of their movies. And I guess All that being said, thanks again to Gwen Gulli. Everybody watch the Sven Gulli show. And we love you guys.
Yeah. All right. We will catch you on 137. Peace.